Finally, it's your friends at Monday Madness, and welcome back to the Jellyfield Donut Podcast.
There we go.
Somewhat exclusively on the Low Blows Network and elsewhere, because that's what exclusive means. So, welcome back to the show, if you've listened to us last week. I'm saying that to us as well as you, because it has been a while since we sat down to do these. And fair to say, guys, we have picked a perfect time to come back.
Yeah.
Because we are literally just about to jump into one of the infamous episodes of Pokemon, namely one of the banned episodes.
Filth.
Absolutely disgusting. Only filth. Five altogether banned episodes in the whole run of Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's good going.
Trying to think, there was this one, there was the Blackface Jinx episode.
Yes, that was a Christmas special.
Porygon episode.
Electric Soldier Porygon, which is coming very soon, actually. I think we're 10 episodes away from it.
Really? Didn't realise it was that soon.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
There was the Tauros episode.
Yes.
Dratini, because they had Clint Eastwood in it, basically.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood, and he looked like he was about to shoot Ash right in the front of the head, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a fifth episode that was actually, like, in the Unovan arc. Gen 5, yeah.
Okay.
There is a reason for it. I think it may have been because there was, like, a grand... that's what it was. It was a battle between Team Plasma and Rocket.
Uh-huh.
And basically, Rocket were using seismic devices to cause earthquakes. And that episode was when it came out around the time of, or before...
earthquake.
Yeah, no, it was around the earthquake that nearly caused the nuclear...
Fukushima,
yeah, that's it. So it was around that time. So like, they already had that episode in production. And then when they saw the earthquake, they said, we'll nix it.
Yeah.
And the gas thing is, like, it was the end of that storyline between the two feuding, and it just never got resolved. It doesn't get spoke of again.
Now, is it one that you're able to find now, or...?
No, I don't think it ever came to air at all.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I think it's, like, literally just, like, on the strapping floor somewhere. Now, I'm sure if we look for it, it's there, and it'll be, like, you know, cut together, like, someone very kindly did on Dailymotion. You might be able to put, like, a link up for it, for you to see, like, the full episode with the... kind of the warts and all, if you like. But we will get to why this is banned in the rundown. But we've actually just, like, you guys actually just finished watching it by the time I got here. So you know why.
Yeah.
It's very obvious. Because pretty much, if I know Rick Nash as much as I think he does, he's going to have the title of this video as James with Tits. Because that's literally why this episode was banned.
I thought it was for the shot of Ash's mom at the end.
Oh, no. That's what the people came to see. Or at least that's what Delia thinks, anyway. separate issue.
Yeah, an episode just titled Delia's Arse.
It's like, oof.
Oak Scott Wood.
Who's that MILF? Anyway, so, yes indeed, the episode is called Beauty and the Beach, and we get a recap of the previous episode. Ash and Co were escaping from Pokemon Land and arriving at the beautiful resort island of Puerto Vista. You should be shocked to hear, guys, is not in the game. And not even in the various retcons have they ever put it in the game. So this is an exclusive just for the cartoon to stretch things out a bit.
Yeah.
Like, you look at Yellow and it had trainers that more matched up against episodes. Like, before he got to Viridian, in the Yellow version, before you get to Viridian, you battle a trainer with just a Sandshrew.
Yes.
That's a reference to the AJ, episode, yeah. AJ's episode. This is absolute filler.
Oh, yeah.
That they don't try to replicate it anywhere.
Because what they've done is they've realised that they got the Cerulean City by the, like, 10th episode. I mean, it's, oh shit, that's a quarter of the game going, right?
Yeah.
Let's fucking slow this down.
Yeah.
We have 96 episodes to go, lads. Let's slow it down.
Yeah.
And this is very much them trying to do that. We get our title screen, and then we have beautiful sights of palm trees and parasols, and we see Ash's clothes just thrown into the air. He didn't waste any fucking time.
Filth.
Disgusting, really. Like, he's, I don't know. Anyway, so himself, Brock, and Pikachu with a little rubber tube, which is very adorable, diving into the water, saying that the water's cool, but Brock says the beach is hot. Remember, because as this will very much be an episode where Brock has indeed a penis, and Misty's in her swimsuit and thought they were going to wait for her at a Kahuna, but they didn't. As we said, she's holding an inflatable Master Ball, which is a very rare sighting in its own right. But it's good to see that, like, it does still exist in this world. She's obviously asking very earnestly how the water is, and the two of them are just going, like, it's a woman, as you'd expect. And then Missy asks Ash what is wrong, and he says it's weird seeing Missy looking like a girl.
Like, well done, Ash.
Yes.
basically, is all you can say.
It pretty much is, and that's kind of the theme of the first even act. It's like, wow, Missy's actually looking like a girl. Let's all marvel at the fact that she has a swimsuit, even though she's a water trainer.
Yep.
And has, like, barely wears... it's not like she wears modest clothing.
No.
Like, she wears short shorts and a tank top.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. It's pretty much showing slightly less than what she would normally show off of skin. And
yeah, that's it.
Made them lose their minds.
It's mad how that works, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So Missy asks how weird this looks as she throws the master ball back at Ash and he falls into the sea struggling for air. And presumably he drowns in that. So, bye, Ash.
Great. Can we follow a better trainer now?
Just there, like, Red is, like, sipping like, something under parasol going, dot, dot, dot. we see the fin of a Gyarados float up and a little periscope pops out from the top. One thing I love about this episode is, like, a brief second when he just about started to do the Jaws thing. It's like, and they said, oh, shit, copyright. They got two notes in. We see Jesse and James then by the periscope reciting their motto, which is a bit weird to do while you're cycling, I'll be honest. Like,
yeah.
You know,
and no one can hear you.
No one can hear you, and no one gives a shit. Like, you know, stop. And after a nice shot of the submarine, we see that they're in fact pedaling along a lot with Meowth being kind of like coach as well. These are like tiny little pedals for himself. They're at the hit Porta Vista, which is full of wealthy tourists, so the plan is to spook them all with the Gyarados sub and steal all their money. So you're literally doing the fake shark plan, which always works, never fails.
Absolutely.
And we don't have proof of that, so don't ask us. So the plan is then they will steal all their money and they'll live the lives of the rich and famous. As Meowth says, cat champagne wishes and catnip dreams. Here we come, because that is a line.
That is one of the more classic lines of Meowth.
Yes, exactly. So Jesse retorts then that it can't be, as he sees Ash, Brock and Misty driving a boat. So, they drive a boat, and they admire the boat is very, very nice. Ash then fobs it off, saying, like, well, yeah, it was Brock who borrowed it. And then Brock goes, no, I don't have any rich friends, what are you talking about? And then he points it back to Ash, saying that he was the one to actually get on the boat. And he says, yeah, you did. You invited me on board. And the great thing about this is they're all trying to find out who stole the boat. Pikachu is like completely just enjoying the sights in the foreground, just there, completely blank face. And then Brock just goes, well...
I was following Pikachu.
Yeah. And then he just goes like, oh, you are not fucking passing it to me. You are fucking not doing that. And that's exactly what happened. So Ash thinks they're in trouble as Pikachu looks ahead. But unfortunately, he's a bit slow on the old uptake of being... the sighter, so he crashes into the Gyarados sub, which is unfortunate for everyone involved, really.
Yep.
So the sub sinks to the bottom. Ash says that the boat is broken, it won't stop, which is a weird fault to have for a boat, I'll be honest,
yeah.
For crashing into it. Like, normally it should sink, or like, you know, hull damage or something, not
yeah.
The accelerator is stuck, which speaks to me more that the boat was fucked from the beginning, and you just got cosmetic damage. So he warns them of the nearby dock. They brace for impact as it crashes into the wood and comes to a stop.
I mean, he could have made hard turns to force it to slow.
Considering that, like, they didn't know who stole the boat in the first place, speaks to me that perhaps they weren't in the best place to be on a boat to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where's Ash's boating license? Where's his permit?
No. You'd think Missy might
he's
have...
He's 10 years old.
Exactly.
Sorry, no, like, he's 10 years old. He is legally an adult.
Yes. In the Pokemon world, where everyone lives until they're 50. That's a fair point. Ash then kind of trying to cover it, going, I think the dock hit us. No, it didn't. Stop bullshitting. So
it came out of nowhere.
It did. Like, you can't say it didn't. He had a gun. The dock had a gun, all right? We all saw it. Had a gun. So, the old man in a white shirt appears. He's wearing a straw hat and he has a long staff, which is definitely not overcompensating for something. He asks what you vandals are doing. He says they destroyed his boat and now destroyed his dock as well, and waving his staff angrily at them. So Ash, being the coward that he is, ducks behind Misty and pushes Misty towards him, saying it's been a big misunderstanding. So the old man is then caught in the stardom of a fucking 12-year-old child, going, oh, you remind me of my granddaughter. Blushing away as he does.
But he ogles her as if you, in a way that he shouldn't ogle a granddaughter.
No, that's the key thing there.
Or just mainly a 12-year-old.
Just generally, yeah. A 12-year-old in like a swimsuit. Yeah, if you have that reaction, there's a very key 5-letter word we could use there.
Yeah.
that we can use there. But anyway, So the old man keeps staring at Misty as she says she's got the money, but they'd be happy to work to earn their way. And he gets even more excited here. So, like, really? What would you like to do? It's like, they would be happy to work. And then pushes the two lads in front of him. Then,
like, that, for that bit alone, that could be banned.
Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like that, like, in a modern lens, that should be, like, that's probably why it's off Netflix. Like, oh, sorry, we accidentally wrote a paedophile in. Sorry, lads, our bad. So, that's exactly what happens. We see Team Rocket wash up on the beach, frustrated that their plan has already been ruined by Ash and their friends.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later on. Jesse says they'll need to figure out a way to repair the boat. So we see somebody in shot then, which is a sock and a sandal, so you know it's a bad character. Like, already from that. You know who it is. So he said. So they say hey to them, and we see an old looking woman in, like, the most, like, an old ugly woman is the nicest way to put it. It's a face we're going to be seeing quite a lot over the next few episodes, which is weird. They just decided, oh, we have this hilarious idea for an ugly old woman. Let's use it 3 times in the next 3 episodes, because we literally have nothing else. So she's in, like, a dress with, like, these kind of awful ponytails. So she's like a 50-year-old woman trying to dress like a schoolgirl.
Pippi Longstocker.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not going to lie, lads, that's not a pleasant sight. It really fucking isn't.
And her name suits her.
It is, yeah.
Brutella.
Brutella.
Mm. So yeah, exactly. So she says...
Working for her is quite brutal.
It is.
Wonder how they got that.
Oh, well, it's a mystery. Yeah. I don't know where they got that wordplay from. It's a mystery to us all. She's explained that the beach is only for her restaurant patrons and no squatters.
Yeah.
And if I say the word squatters, I immediately think of Jesse and James. But James then says, well, you might need waiters. And Jesse goes, I don't want to work for a living, fuck you.
Yeah.
So he reminds her that they need money to repair the sub. And the woman says it can be, as we said, pretty brutal working for her. James quips, we work for Jesse, so we know all about brutal. To which point the studio audience applauds and we cut the commercial.
Absolutely.
So we hear Brock and Ashton trying to verbally sell seafood on the beach, but no one seems interested in squid on a stick. I don't know about you guys, I'm not much of a seafood man myself. And
no, none of that guy's food sounded in any way appetizing.
Not whatsoever.
They're missing so many chances for Pokemon puns on it, really.
I guess so, but, like, I mean, that would probably make it less appetizing for me. You know, kind of way? Like,
yeah, you don't want to eat, like, tentacruel rings.
Yeah.
Instead of squid rings.
Yeah.
Mm. Or just, like, you know, like, blubbered seal.
Octillery balls.
Oh, that'd be nice, actually, though, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Just remoraid. Just literally just like mackerel fucking thrown in, like, you know. Yeah, man, fair point, yeah. This is a question we have to be asking now. What's the most delicious Pokemon when it comes to the seafood, like, you know?
Oh, seafood, because I was going to say, if you're talking general, like, Gen 6 gave all the cotton candy and ice cream Pokemon.
I was about to say, yeah. So if we keep it strict to seafood, so, like, I mean, if you're into oysters, you've got Shellder, you know. But I don't think it's a controversial thing to say, but if you're massively into seafood, you're clearly a pervert. I don't make the rules, lads. I just enforce them. So I'm not an expert in it.
Squirt of soup?
Yeah,
no!
Squirt of
soup.
Or you can have a mantine.
Side duck à l'orange.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that. I like that a lot. Again, if you want a bit of ray, you have your mantine.
Very good.
Yeah.
You know? I think you can get a battered sea king somewhere, I suppose.
King Kingler.
Oh, that'd be good, actually. Yes. That would be nice.
King Krabby.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. Krabby I like cakes. That. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I'm intrigued by the duck a l'orange, I'm not going to lie. I think that's why...
Side duck a l'orange.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one a lot. I think we got a winner there. Although I do like the idea of, like, of a Lotad, if we're going to Gen 3.
Yeah.
Lotad with the, like, little lily pad on its head. And it is just, like, having a cook and then just, like, appearing on the lily pad itself. It's just like, here, we flipped it. Yes, it's cruel, but shut up. It's delicious. And because it's a Mexican, obviously you can have as much spices as you want on it.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, so you look at that way. Yeah. I don't think any of the starters work as food anyway, as far as I know. I think
you might make a Bulbasaur salad.
You could,
like,
yeah.
From the leaves.
Mm, you could do, yeah. I don't think
I suppose they might have poison powder in them.
As I'd say, it's a poison
salad. Tor chicken nuggets.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I was talking about the water starters as well.
Ah, right.
I don't think the mud kit would be very murky.
No.
And Totodile, no, this is, it's, you make a pair of shoes out of a Totodile.
I've, crocodile alligator burgers are a thing.
That's true, they are. Yeah, it's a fair point.
Not a very nice thing, but they're a thing.
Yes. Yeah. No, really, yeah, they're very appetizing, not going to lie. Yeah, there wouldn't be not much of a choice there, in fairness.
Run through the other ones down my head as well.
Yeah, like, I don't think there is one.
Penguins you've got.
Have you ever ate a penguin? Do you want to eat a penguin? And no, not the chocolate bar.
Anyway.
Yes, so.
Pick up a piplup.
So, anyway, so as we said, we see her, they're trying to sell all this food. A couple approaches. Brock offers a table for two. The woman thinks the place is a real dive. Which again is also my thoughts on every seafood joint, I'm not going to lie. They look more interested in other restaurants as Pikachu looks on disappointed. And we see Jesse at the door welcome the same couple, although there's no actual like notion on them, they're just the two same people just recycled, essentially. Yes. We're going to Brutella's Ocean Chateau, which is quite a nice place for a joint like that. She says her bit, jeers at Ash and Brock as they try to figure out how she got there. I was like, yes, what, these like conniving, scheming guys always seem to appear when we do. How does this keep happening?
Yes, that pull down the skin of your eye.
Yeah, exactly, that jeer.
She looks real hot in that uniform as she pulls her eye out of her socket.
Mm. It is a very odd jeer, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I mean, it's very, I'm sure it's a very American or Japanese jeer, whereas we just like flip them V's.
Yeah.
Or wanker, you know?
Yeah.
We have a lot more, as it were, like classically trained insults, if we want to go with that. Anyway, so Brock's remarking she looks good in the uniform. Yeah, let's not go with that. Jesse jeers the more as James and Miel adds on from the upper terrace, calling them a dive, and they call them bottom feeders. Which I think they just said because they like how James says bottom feeders. So Ash gets annoyed then and releases all of his Pokemon, going, right, let's add to the staff. Let's get more people paid here. So again, I like everyone has a use here. So Pikachu and Squirtle used for flyers, and Pidgeotto gusts to keep the coals hot, which is a smart move. Charmander is heaping up the kitchen, which is good. Bulbasaur is waiting the tables with Misty, which I think is actually a good use for Bulbasaur.
Yeah.
There, you know.
Yep.
As opposed to just using them for spices, I guess. So this master plan then gathers more crowds, and soon we see the outside is packed. So we see like expanding, as it were, people outside, parasols, tables outside, the whole lot. And Ash says the more people want to eat at the one restaurant with Pokemon in it, and it's like, yeah, no, that sounds like a good marketing ploy.
I mean, who wouldn't want to eat with service animals everywhere?
This is true. And we did say they were rich tourists, so they're used to having servants. So. James then calls it the Tworpateria, which is a fascinating phrase to use. I don't think it'll catch on though.
No.
And Jesse reminds him that no business at theirs means no money, which is very true. So Miel then says, right, time to be a shithouse. And they start sabotaging everything. So the first thing that happens is all of Pikachu and Squirtle's flyers float away in a big gust. Mm-hmm. Chasing after it when they see that Miel has set up a big fan. And chuckling away when he says, liars, which is so close to a Nadine Coyle impression, but
liars.
So next, then Miel feeds a tube of oil into the kitchen, saying that's some fuel to the fire, and he does. The oil completely burns out the fire, the old man, and Charmander.
Uh-huh.
Whereas that shouldn't happen to Charmander. In fairness, Charmander,
he
just
should be loving that. Like, yeah, burn me up.
He's like, Charmander's like, haha, oh, that's cute. That's really fucking cute. He did that. Then Meowth eats a banana, throws a skin onto the path of a Bulbasaur, which slips and spills drinks. And then Misty does the same with another banana skin, with some desserts landing on the nearby patrons, who start complaining, going, you spilled my drink, I'm rich, fuck
demanding you. To see the manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. If there was Karens in the Pokemon universe, oh lord.
Oh yeah.
We wouldn't have heard the fucking end of it. So the crowds start disappearing at this point until no one is left. Ash then tries to figure out what went wrong, and Brock says, everything. So they're working on the assumption that literally like calamity after calamity have happened. So like a random gust of wind happened, then the cooker broke, then people fell, then Missy and Bulbasaur both somehow fell over. You know, it's a bit weird. So they're all moping into the restaurant.
Jesse and James next door couldn't possibly have anything to
nothing
do
to do. It's a mystery to us all, lads. We've no idea. So he's sorry to the old man, who we later find out is called Mo. Nice of you to tell us this like 7 minutes into the episode, lads, but anyway. They did try until all those accidents happened. And then Missy, somehow the only one with a brain in this room, goes, well, hang on, maybe they weren't all accidents. And that is until Brutella and Team Rocket, the most hideous tag team in history, walk in saying they don't need a reservation because
it's so empty.
It's so empty.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yuck, 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 indeed. And so Bertel then tells Mo that he may need to go out of business if things continue like this.
One bad day of work.
One bad day of work. That's how it works, man. If you're on the knife edge like that, you know? I mean, yep. look at Barcelona. They're fucked. They had one bad day of business and now they can't pay wages. That's how it works. So Bertel then mentions that Mo owes her a lot of money as well. So she apparently has a racketeering job as well. And if he doesn't find out by tomorrow, she'll take his boat.
Not his broken boat.
Which is like the biggest insult for an old man, to take their boat.
When he's so close to seeing his dream.
That's it. He's 2 days away from retirement, that's the thing. So Mo says to her, no, take anything, but not the boat. Here, take my grandchildren or something. You can use them as slave labour.
Take this girl, he reminds me of my grandchild.
Yeah. Maybe not that in that sense,
yep.
But okay. So anyway, Mo's gone like, yeah, just don't take the boat. She walks out to Market Jane and going, we'll see you tomorrow. That boat's going to be ours. So there's some moping in the room down at the station. The deadline is tomorrow. There's no way you can earn that much in a day. And he says, that's sad. And completely forgetting about the fact that you perved on me 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
And when Ash asks why the boat is so important, Mo explains he wants to cruise around the world before it's too late. Which is presumably before he gets caught by somebody. that's why he wants to go on a boat, because he doesn't want to be like
he wants to be on international waters.
That's it.
Yeah.
He's in no jurisdiction. Then it turns out he has like an outstanding warrant in Alola for being really fucking dodgy around the world. he mentions his Ash then is trying to motivate this old man, saying like, don't give up on your dream.
And it's so close somehow.
So yes, you're buried in debt in a seafood restaurant. Where you're the only person working on staff. You're so close to your dream.
Yes,
like
exactly.
You
can't give up now.
You can't give up now. I mean, look at me. I'm a Pokemon Master. I'm fucking terrible.
Look at me. I'm 10. I have my life in front of me. Look at you.
You're so close to death.
You're 65. You're wearing an ankle bracelet. You've got everything to live for.
Look at that neck beard.
It's a fair point. But yeah, so he's trying to relate, saying like, oh, I want to be a Pokemon Master. And while it's not that easy and I'm terrible, I'm not giving up. And neither should you, Mo. And Brocto then goes, we can't give away the boat. It's a pretty boat, and I'd like to buy it for myself. Wait, I was about to think that. Shit. the team says they'll make the money somehow by working together.
This is where the amount of fillerness that it is really shows up, where it's like, you know, there's a concert, you know, there's a rock show on tomorrow,
yes.
A rock contest on tomorrow, and the prize is exactly the money that you need.
But this is the thing, like, I think we had this conversation the last time we did the podcast, but like, the difference between good and bad filler sometimes is that's actually some kind of consequence to it.
Yeah.
Like, you meet a new Pokemon, or there's like something happening in the story. This is literally just like some other guy's problem that isn't ours.
Yes.
In a sense. And we just have to like indulge this part of the episode. In fairness, like, they're 18 episodes in and they've already like blitzed through half the story, so they're trying to think like, right, we need to slow stuff down and try other episodes just to patch it out. And he said, right, let's just invent an island, let's just invent a seafood restaurant and invent an old man.
Mandatory beach episodes.
Oh, there's always a swimsuit episode in every anime, and you cannot tell me otherwise.
Yep.
As I said, like, they try and ask themselves rhetorically, is it possible? Anything is possible, but how are they going to do it? And then we hear someone off screen offering a suggestion, and it's Professor Oak, and he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. He's in holiday mode.
Not in blackface this time.
No, which is a refreshing change of pace.
Yeah,
refreshing change of pace. And he's along with Ash's mom. And let's ask nothing about that then. Let's just lift that in the bud. Definitely not the case. And so say, hey, mom, what are you doing here? And then Oak goes,
oh, we'll tell you later.
Oh, we'll explain later. We'll sit you down.
The pigeons and the
Beedrills.
Beedrills. the way he does it is great, because he just goes like, what are you doing here with my mother? No, details. Look at this magazine.
Yeah.
It's like completely changing the subject. So what it is, he's shown, is the annual Porta Vista Beach Beauty and Pokemon Costume Contest.
I feel like the Pokemon Costume Contest should have been
the top billing.
Top billing. Like, I'd be very interested to see Pokemon dressed up as
Birdbot. You have never played Oras or the Alpha Sapphire.
She hasn't.
Yeah.
Now, again, I want to point out that you'd be interested in the Pokemon Costume Contest because you're a girl. Right?
True.
You're forgetting this is written by blokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And beauty comes first.
Fair enough.
Did Diamond not have beauty contests in it as well?
They had something along those lines, yeah.
And just to date us a little bit, Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl hasn't come out yet.
No. So there's always a chance that we can have our own, finally, our Porta Vista swimsuit episode in the horrible North Tundra of Sinnoh.
Yes.
Where God exists, apparently. He says that that's all happening today, which is convenient. So Oak says, thinks they'll get plenty of business from everyone coming for the contest. Which is a sound plan, in fairness.
Now, at what stage are they at in the day? Like, this is one really long day, but it sounds
like... I was going to say, yeah, I feel like they may have, like, nicked a boat in the morning and then come, like, noon.
Like,
yeah.
Nicked a boat before 10 o'clock.
Yes. Well, it could be summer now, so you could be starting like, as early as 7 a.m, like, you know. So, you never know.
Which kind of explains a little bit why would you want to have a squid on a stick for your breakfast?
I really fucking wouldn't. Like, honestly, I couldn't think of anything more unpleasant.
Like, maybe for your dinner, but...
I don't know, just full stop. Like, you know, I'd rather hit somebody with a squid on a stick. I mean, it's better as a weapon than food. And if that's the case, it's not very good food to begin with. So Oak says there's cash prizes available. So Missy thinks, oh, maybe we should enter the contest ourselves. And apparently you can win prizes for both the beauty and costume contests. So there's fucking lightning bulbs all around, as Ash says, and money is theirs. But we'll get to that because that's after our commercial break. We all know what happens when we have a commercial break on this show, folks.
Who's that Pokemon?
How does it feel making that sound?
Weird, man. Doesn't feel right at all. Because I'm adding the splice on top of this. I'm hearing myself doing it twice then. You know? It's weird, man. It's weird. So anyway, as we said, we don't have ads on this show, but instead we do have Who's That Pokemon. And since we last left you, Burkbot, you did manage to recoup some points.
Yep.
You're now going to try and double it up by stalling us. Try and stall us here with your own choice.
Yes.
To see if you can keep pace. So this is your twist. Give us your dex entry.
Yeah, okay, cool. So I'm going to take this from the Pokedex entrance from Gold.
Okay.
Always believe in yourself.
It is attracted to electromagnetic waves. It may approach trainers if they are using Pokegear.
Okay, who gets to go first?
I'm going to say Magnemite.
I'm going to say Magneton.
Magnemite.
Oh, get in there!
I genuinely, I thought the Pokegear might...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
To be fair, that was a pick'em. Like, that could have been either one, so yeah. That's a...
One of us is going to get the full 5 points in that one.
That's it, yeah. So, that's one way of thinking of it. But, either way, that was a quick one. That means I am now leading by 2 points, James.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it's my twist next. So no pressure, James. No pressure at all. Just saying. So we return to the commercial break as we see PGO dropping some flyers over the beach. Brock voices over to PA that the contest is open and there's a $1,000 prize for the winner.
So all that damage to the boat and to the docks was about 1,000.
And crucially, the amount that Mo owes to the old woman is also under 1,000. So literally there's nothing wrong with this.
Yeah.
Unless you can think okay, we have to win boat contests, which is possible. So that's still 2,000. Not that much, lads.
Yeah. No.
Get along. Get over yourselves. So, we saw tons of girls queuing up as Ash and Misty are cheering as they go by. Both for different reasons, I presume. Mo sheds a tear as he realises he'll make Brutella's winner very easily with this. So Brutella watches on, angrily chewing at a handkerchief, as you do.
Normal.
Yeah, totally normal behaviour. Dealey explains that Oak and her are with their tour group, the Volunteer Patrol, which is also now called the Third Wheels.
The Pokemon Volunteer Patrol, or PVP.
PVP, yes. We brought some plastics with us. They're really shit fans. So Oak chimes in saying that his mother's still worried about him, calling him her little pumpkin, which is upset that Oak called him that.
Yep.
It is a kind of the case I'm your new dad now. It's not right, little pumpkin.
Oh, no.
I don't like this.
You gave me an
electric... Not my real dad.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even know my real dad.
Giovanni.
Mr. Mime. So Delia keeps mothering him then at this point, saying he'll always be her baby and making sure he's not eating junk food or getting into trouble. Very much forgetting about the whole changing your underwear set, which is after a couple of weeks, even I can't keep that promise. So Ash gets a flashback then about crashing the boat
from earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
They could have like gone to so many other things, like, you know, the whole Pokemon Island that they destroyed, you know,
destroying Misty Spike,
the ship, you know, that they were on.
He destroyed a cruise liner. Granted, it was not just him, but, you know.
Actually, did Ash's mom ever comment on, like, oh, and I suppose you're not dead?
I don't think she knows.
Like, they were announced dead, like, 3 episodes ago.
Oh, I think she was just very distracted at the time, Dave. I couldn't possibly tell you why. But she clearly just had other different things on her plate at the time, you know? And again, we will not talk about that further. So again, Mo covers for him then, saying that he's talking about financial troubles as opposed to anything else. And Ash does, like, got me, man. Got you, man. So again, the character's in, like, a 180 here, just as, like, start off as a pervert. He's actually just a cool old man who definitely isn't problematic.
Who definitely likes hanging around with kids.
Absolutely. And at least said about that, the better.
Yeah. Even though he did not know about this contest, Brock is now on commentary.
Yeah. Sorry, but also, Mo works on the beach.
Yes.
And didn't realise there was a contest on that he could...
Also, who is in the... You know, who's in the restaurant now? They're all sitting watching the beauty contest.
Exactly.
I think we have now officially put more thought into this than the makers of the episode.
Absolutely. Like, it's like a lot of diminishing returns, isn't it? Because, like, you're going, okay, you can go for this $2,000 prize, or you could make up $50,000 if you clean up the restaurant and have it open for business when everyone's in town.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, literally, people, do you not understand retail? Clearly not. So, yes, as you said, Brock is on commentary, shirtless, as is tradition. Announcing the beauty contest is about to begin, as we see a red curtain on stage. First up is Misty, getting this out of the way, as she says the hilarious feminist line, "This is totally embarrassing and degrading, but we need the money."
Not problematic at all.
Not problematic at all. That's she kind of mumbles it under her voice as well. So yeah. Like, yeah, this is
as everyone cheers her on.
That's it, yeah. It's just like, yeah. And just like, throwing dollar signs at her at this stage. Like, so Brock introduces her and her Pokemon costume, and it's a combination of Starmie and Squirtle, and they're both kind of acting as a UFO. So Starmie is like obviously the actual UFO, and then Squirtle is kind of serving as the alien on top, wearing a bucket helmet, which is quite
very cute.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and they're both floating around, and Squirtle gives off a little water spout, which, as we all know, UFOs do all the time.
Yeah.
So it's very consistent, very accurate, and as we all know, folks, the truth is out there. Now, this is where it gets fun, lads. We're into the band part now. So, I've mentioned in my notes here what's banned and what isn't. So, you obviously won't be able to tell from the notes here, but I'm going to let you guys guess what's banned and what isn't, just from starting off. So, Misty is pushed off stage by Jesse and James in swimwear. Misty notices that James has a pair of tits and double checks that he's a man. James replies that his beauty doesn't exist in men, though. So, to explain this a little bit, this is the stuff that, like, was only, like, aired in Japan. So, it did air in Japan.
Yeah.
And then the Americans were localized going, what the fuck is that? Get that off now. And yeah, that's essentially it. So, like, in the purpose of the video that we kind of watched of the episode, it was actually helpfully spliced together.
Yeah.
Of, like, the actual, like, localized version and then whatever was Japanese, Japan only. And obviously, so there's maybe a few mistranslation issues here, but anyway, so his beauty doesn't exist in men, though. Jesse waves Misty away as James inflates his breasts to comical sizes.
Yep.
But it's also not just that as well. Like, he's wearing eyeliner, he's got lipstick on, he's clearly got like some form of makeup to make himself more feminine.
Yeah.
And like, he's actually like, it's not even a case of like he's in drag or anything like that. It's actually James's head on a woman's body.
Yeah.
You know, kind of way.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah, it is just like they reused the animation for, you know, Ash's mom and put James's head on.
you can tell from the opus here on the tram stamp on the back. So he does that, and Brock says, two women have forced their way on stage and says everyone seems to be happy. Missy is crying on stage as James waves his norks around, saying she took part 10 years too early. literally, in Japan, they said, well, if you had a pair of tits, you would have won this competition.
Yep.
Again, you can see why this is bad, lads.
Oh, yeah.
You can see why this didn't make the cut. But yeah, so again, it kind of immediately smashes back into then the
unbanned,
yes. Yep. So literally, it's just these two scenes thrown in for shits and giggles in Japan. So Brock says, next up is two Pokemon calling themselves the Rocket Boosters, imitating a legendary Pokemon. Ash starts shaking his fist, snarling in the crowd because he says that they're from Team Rocket. The curtain opens up to see Coffin wearing Ekans as a hat, which is very funny. Also has kind of like seaweed kind of like draped underneath him as well.
Yep.
So you can't quite tell. You can tell it's a Coffin, but you know,
he's
not spitting a poison gas, so that's a start, isn't it? Brock then tries to explain what it is, and it's making hard work of it, in fairness, because he's assuming that it's meant to be an Omastar, the legendary Pokemon Omastar.
Oh, yeah.
As you see how Ekans and Koffing are trying to make the costume work, so you kind of see like a side profile of it, and then you can kind of see where they're going with it. You know, it does make sense.
In fairness,
last minute costume idea.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad at all. So yeah, they're doing that, and then someone kicks them off the stage. Someone kicks two Pokemon off stage, and it was fucking Gary Oak of all people and his cheerleading group. Because it's been a couple of episodes since Gary Oak ruined something, so now let's get him in there to ruin this contest.
Yep.
So Ash is obviously shocked to see him as Brock again improvises in commentary saying it's the up and coming Gary Oak and his squad of adoring and adorable fans. Because again, Brock has a penis. Oak conveniently forgot to mention Gary that came along with him, much to Ash's chagrin.
Cock blocking them?
Pretty much, yeah. It's like, oh, you brought six of your friends. Yes. All friends. Oh yeah, you can bang Delia, but I can't bang six girls. Alright, fair enough then, granddad.
Yep.
So Gary calls out Ash saying he didn't come here to make him jealous, but came here to make other people in his fan club jealous of him. So yeah, like if there's any modern day correlation to Gary Oak, he is the most annoying influencer you can think of.
Oh yeah.
He is that guy who literally refuses to go away and then takes charity booking fucking gigs. Boxing gigs, like.
Love a good pop.
Yes, essentially. would let far. So unfortunately, Gary actually somehow has more charm than Logan Paul does, which says a lot. But anyway, cheerleaders say that he'll smash Ash.
Well.
Yeah. Well. That's also why I got banned. No. Gay talk on my Christian cartoons. So, Gary wrote that himself, apparently, which makes so much more sense. Line. Yeah, he really is. He should be. He's vocalising his inner thoughts, James. We shouldn't be judging him. So Ash runs off from the seat. Brock says there'll be six beautiful girls on stage and it's hard to choose a winner from them. I think Gary is meant to be the guy, but never mind. Anyway, so Missy's backstage saying the judges won't give her a second look. So then, Jesse and James are also watching on as Jesse takes offence to those women being more beautiful than her. James also thinks he's more beautiful, but Bertella pulls them away before anything else is said. Now, my description there doesn't do it justice. Like, literally, they're peeking around the corner, and James' tits are just like, around the corner as well.
It's like he's resting on them.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They're a support pillow.
In fair, look, listen, I'm not going to judge, but he probably paid way too much for them. Just saying. So
adjustable sizes, though, like, you're going to pay extra.
That's true, yeah, exactly. And again, your size as well, which is even tougher. But anyway, so Bertella knows they're from Team Rocket, and she's happened to fix their Gyarados sub out of the kindness of her cold, black, dead heart. But she has to do exactly what she says. They nervously agree.
Yeah.
Bertella then wants them to destroy the beauty contest, because again, she's an ugly woman. And they all agree, saying that they even destroy things they don't want to. And Meowth says they'll give it their worst shots as they run off. Classic comic sitcom shit here. So you run off into the sub, and Jesse says, let's go, as if to like in a mockery of Bertella's voice there, saying that Bertella's rubbing off on her. Really hope that's not the case. The sub then descends into the water and into the tunnel. And Ash challenges Gary to a Pokemon battle, but Gary only brought his fans with him. Only brought his fans, yeah, that works. Ash calls him a coward, but Gary isn't having any of it. Because like, dude, I'm on holiday.
Yeah.
Get over yourself, like, I don't care. I really don't give a shit. So Brock then tries to calm him down as Gary goes Ash more. The sub then emerges from the beach and has the beauty show in their sights. Jesse remarks that they finally got a foolproof plan this time. Let's see how long this one fucking lasts. Some tracks were tracked from the sub, and the Gyarados head emerges from the water jaw style. So again, this is what they tried to do earlier on and failed miserably.
Yeah,
now they're trying it again. Yes. Because
they didn't get a chance to try it properly earlier.
Because Ash and his terrible driving crashed into them.
Yeah, fucking Grand Theft acrobatics, like, fuck that. Again, there's screams from the beach as those on the stage look on. Jesse says their plan is working, and Gyarados chases them on stage with the sounds to go with. You know, like Gyarados roars and stuff like that, and people go, no, shark attack, all that shit. So Ashton takes a microphone in a remarkable change of leadership here, and says Gyarados is a fake. This stops people running as Ash tells him it's just Team Rocket trying to ruin the show. And hilariously, this just stopped people running.
Yeah, that 10-year-old boy says it's not real, so we should believe him and not our own senses.
Yes. No, what stops them is the case that it's not a real Gyarados, but it's the fact Team Rocket acting the bollocks.
Yeah.
So it tells you, like, in this part of the world, Team Rocket really is like, oh, not them again. Like,
yeah,
you know.
So annoying.
Exactly. That's exactly. It's like, oh, again.
I do like how they're like, oh, you know, that it's just a Gyarados-shaped tank. I'll just stand still because it's Team Rocket driving it. Like, you know, the tank isn't actually a danger to them, according to them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly how it's treated in this way, too. So, yeah, that happens. And everyone goes, oh, yeah, fair enough. And like, Missy's running, wow, that's actually quite good for Ash Ketchum. And Dee is going, like, I'm also impressed.
Yeah.
And El goes, that's my boy. I mean, that's a boy. That's what a great guy he is. Well, so proud of him. So Jesse then gets annoyed at Ash, and James shoots a rocket from the Gyarados' mouth, and Brock says it's heading this way. Not really at any urgency, because there's a big little bit of dialogue between Gary and Ash here afterwards. Got really chill about this, going, what will Ash do next? Ash tells Gary to watch him, as Brock says it's a heat-seeking missile. Not sure how Brock has a knowledge of military hardware, but we will cross that bridge when we come to it, I guess. So out comes Charmander and Pidgeotto. Alpha formation, as we call it. Pidgeotto picking up Charmander, using Flamethrower, which singes the rocket, and it targets back to the sub as Team Rocket pedals.
Why?
But this is a trope. I've noticed it's a trope a little bit, where like, if you like I think it's like Spyro and a few other games have done this, where like, if you torch a heat-seeking missile, it'll just somehow like break the sensor and it'll go back to base. I don't think that works, or at least if it worked once, it was a fluke. And then everyone just heard, like, that is a thing, right? He's like, I'm not researching this, fuck you. And everyone just went from that. So they pedal like mad away from it. Again, we have a hilarious like look of the Gyarados tank going, oh shit, as well, like a real comical face, and they all scarper then, and they keep pedaling, not looking where they're going, because they're heading towards Brutella's restaurant, not realizing it, and they crash into it. Then the rocket explodes a lot, and they all get blasted off, including Brutella. So there you go. But now that Team Rocket are gone, that leaves us with our input, as we are going to ask the question, what should Rocket do? Now, so we have a bit of a scenario here. It's not really a double scenario here, but we have one combined. So, the premise is Team Rocket have arrived at Porta Vista with a Gyarados submarine recently repaired by Brutella after their cooperation earlier on. The whole town is engrossed in a beauty show that's brought thousands to the resort, and Pokemon are also involved in the contest, but the likes of Pikachu are not.
Okay.
Right, so just throw that in there. So, for the second, if you're not familiar, basically we've just given the scenario of what Team Rocket's doing in this episode, and we're going to try and find a better solution, better idea to what they had that would actually succeed in the three of us. So, what do we think, team? What should Rocket do?
They've been gifted a tank by the local loan shark.
Yes.
I would point the tank at Brutella. As soon as she says...
over.
Yes, as soon as she's like, oh, here, take your submarine and go cause havoc.
Yeah.
First thought would be, why should I take orders from Brutella?
Fair point, yeah.
And take over Brutella's operation,
call
in the loans. Take over Brutella's operation, prevent the locals from leaving.
You see, I had a very similar train of thought that you did, but instead of actually like hostile takeover, I say recruit Brutella.
Okay, but Brutella's not... wouldn't be the kind who'd become a lackey of someone.
I don't see it, not necessarily a lackey, but clearly she's a loan shark, right? That's been established, and she has a bit of a racket here at the beach.
Yeah.
So if you just say to her, like, she's clearly like motivated by money. So if you say to her, oh hey, we're with Team Rocket, you know, the local Yakuza with all the funds, like Pokemon Land and the Game Corner, well, sign up with us and you'll get more money, and you can hold up more places and just keep shaking them for loose change, and you will die a very ugly but very wealthy woman. Like, that, I think that works, because she can register on an emotional level with her, that she can have more money.
Now, that said, their pride was hurt by getting laughed off the stage.
This is true. So they have a motivation.
They have a motivation to go after the go after the tournament anyway, or the beauty contest anyway.
Well, that would have been the double turn in a sense. It was like, well, no, forget about that. We can actually just take over a protection racket here
yeah.
and give it to the boss and be back in his good books. But clearly nothing of that.
No.
What would you say, Bert, Bob?
My idea would be, while everyone's distracted, don't enter the beauty contest.
Okay.
While everyone's being distracted by the beauty contest, pickpocket them.
Properly, just like...
Yeah, just while everyone's watching, just mm-hmm. go around. They're sitting kind of bleachers.
Yeah.
You know, you can easily walk under them. Just take the stuff out of their pockets and off you go.
Well, just pops around, just yep. like acting like a cat going, blah, 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 blah. Just like grabbing everything you can,
That'd be what they should have done.
Basically, so we're all saying should have stayed away from attacking the town head on.
They should have taken
the
money.
Or got their tank and got, a bit of a panic
going.
And as people drop
yes.
things in there.
That's what they were doing.
That was what they were planning.
Meowth was in the tank with them. Have him ready there to pick up stuff as the people left.
The actual approach should have been not to destroy the beauty contest, but to cause havoc.
Yeah.
To have the Gyarados. I would have probably played, maybe not even get in the water, just do the whole Jaws gimmick. And that's what makes people scarper.
Yeah.
And then Meowth can kind of go in then and loot a lot then.
Yeah.
Just pointing out as well, they've recently been traumatised by a Gyarados.
This is true, yeah.
And, no PTSD and then getting back into it.
Yeah, actually getting inside of Gyarados as well, no less, is quite an interesting thought experiment there, But, it's almost. So, what do you think was the best plan then overall? So, we have, basically, hijack Brutella's operation.
Yeah.
I'm going to recruit Brutella, and you're going with, basically, loot the town.
Yeah.
During the beauty contest. So, what do we think?
I think blast Brutella. I don't think she would join forces with anyone. She seems, as was quite an independent leader in her
operator,
own right.
Yeah. What you mean? I do like the idea of the fact of Team Rocket actually going back to basics and just nicking everyone's money. So I think I will go with that because that was their initial intention and just lost track of it.
Yeah, and I'd say the same. I'd go with Burkbot's solution.
All right, so that's what we're gonna do. We reckon what Rocket should have done. Stick to the original plan, do the Jaws gimmick, and get Meowth instead to ransack the whole lot then when everyone scarpers. And job done.
Collect his own payday.
Yep.
Even heat-seeking missile before Ash starts shouting his mouth off.
Yeah, you can use that as you can deploy it just like a show.
Yeah.
Basically. But again, if he doesn't know, you could have tricked him in the sense that if you save him the water, you could have made him think, oh shit, there's an actual Gyarados here, and then his PTSD kicks in. he doesn't want to get fucking blasted off again either to another random island. So there you go. So at the end of the episode then we see Ash and company waving off Mo as he sets sail on his boat to the cruise of a lifetime, or his lifetime indeed, because he'll probably be dead by the end of it. Mo wishes them all good luck as he disappears on the horizon. And then we see Oak and Delia, who's holding the trophy of some kind,
suggesting she won the beauty contest.
She won the beauty contest.
Yep.
And yeah, considering her outfit, yeah, she probably did fucking win that.
Or she's holding Professor Oak's trophy as the Pokemon contest because he's Mr. Mime dressed up as a professor.
If that's the case, then Ash is fucked either way. They're both his dad. There's going to be one hell of a fucking paternity test coming, lads, isn't there? But I would like to think actually it's the opposite, where Professor Oak has done an actual mime of Mr. Mime. And that's how he gets it. That is genius. No one has ever thought of that before. And yes, obviously, we see the trophy. Unfortunately, I don't know. I didn't get a chance to see what the actual trophy says. But I'm assuming it is just the fact you've won the beauty contest.
Yeah.
And you're just breezing over that aspect of it. That Ash's mom has literally just walked out on stage, flaunted her stuff, won the contest, and £1,000, no less. So bringing home the dough.
Yep. Yeah. So shot of Delia's arse and any
action. Oh, yeah. So give the people what they want to leave. They leave the card, as Oak said, remarks, you should be proud of our little pumpkin. And she says, yes, I really am. It works right in the OnlyFans. Oh, you mean Ash? No, it was great. Yeah, it was great. So yes, and we close up on the trophy to end the episode. And that's it.
Yeah.
No new Pokemon, no battles, no nothing. It's as fucking filler as it gets again.
But so filler that when it can be taken out of circulation, no one even notices.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Again, these are those episodes that are completely inconsequential. They literally mean nothing. And long may it continue for this run of the fucking episodes, unfortunately. But yeah, this is our first banned episode. You guys have actually obviously seen it.
Yeah.
It's clearly enough to be banned. At least for a kids' cartoon.
It's also such a bad episode anyway.
It was, yeah. It wasn't great, like.
Yeah.
It's... Like, you've got the pervy old man, then you've got the James and his overly overly bouncy
flotation devices, is what I would say. Buoyancies.
And yeah, no, it was just daft. But yeah, the pervy old man is enough to kind of ban it for me, regardless of what goes on in the beauty contest. And then, you know, obviously there's no point to it. There's no, the gang are left exactly
as they were.
You've got Oak and you've got Delia storyline going on in the background there, so you know there's nothing really to it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a completely missable episode in that sense. Like, again, the only thing noteworthy about the episode was that James had a pair of tits.
Yeah.
And that's your selling point for the episode. You really want to get it back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As much as we all want to see that, James, of course.
It's just filler on filler, basically. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. filler, then inflate, and then it bursts. Yeah. But there you have it. That's the episode done. That's Beauty and the Beach in the books. So, we won't have to wait long for our next banned episode, in fairness, but at least this one actually is banned for properly good reasons, in a sense. We'll tell you the whole story when we do get to it in several years' time. But for now, guys, thank you very much for listening to this episode.
Yep.
I promise there'll be Pokemon in the next episode. There's definitely two Pokemon in the next episode we can talk about, so tune in for that if you're looking for hot Pokemon facts. Because that's clearly what you're listening to the podcast for. But nevertheless, guys, thank you very much for listening. By all means, do subscribe to the Low Blows network for more of the same. They obviously do their weekly wrestling digest and their Ask Low Blows if you're into just general banter, and do a whole great load of stuff as well in their archives. You can also subscribe to the Nerds of Rust channel if you're watching the video version, or indeed follow us at Monday Madness LP if you want to hear more of our podcasts. And subscribe to us on YouTube for all this video stuff that we're doing, because we could really do with the subs, you know. We're starving here. So guys, hopefully you enjoyed that episode, and we'll see you for the next one.
Yeah.
Woo!
See you guys.